Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to talk about, I've asked the guys to come up with, we're going to do one each, but I asked them to come up with a backup in case someone steals theirs beforehand. The most difficult part of the swing, in our opinions, the most difficult part of the swing to execute that we see from our students, that you see as golfers. Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
Love it. Let's dig into this.
You're going to go first though, Eric?
I edit the podcast, so I call dibs. I'm going to go first. And I think one of the most difficult parts of the golf swing for people to learn, especially people that haven't played a lot of other sports or it's been a long time since they played sports as a kid or something, is the timing of when you shift versus when you turn. Because as we all know, you start shifting back forward toward the target during the backswing. So everything is going one direction, but you got to be sending weight and mass and pressure and so on the other direction. Getting that timing down is one of the single toughest things for people to get. Most everyone can't believe how early it has to feel.
Absolutely. Again, the golf swing doesn't take a whole lot of time. You know, 1.2 seconds, something like that, from the time you...
Or less.
From the time you move the club to the time you hit it. So there's so much going on in such a short time, to your point. The coordination and the ability to get everything moving in the right direction is extremely difficult.
Yeah. And it's such an interesting sport / weird sport where it's like, all right, my target's going to be to my left as a right-handed golfer. And then I'm going to move away from it first and then sort of towards it, but then also hit something that's in front of me, but then to the left. Yeah. It's an interesting sport.
This is one of the reasons why I don't like the wobble boards, because that time that it takes to just to fall down is slow. And it almost makes it tougher. Like you almost find yourself waiting for it to like land so that you can finish your downswing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that I tried to, especially developing golfers, as we're talking about this, right? I think this is a skill that we have to try to help people develop. The classic sort of put 3 or 4 balls down in a row, sort of, you know, perpendicular to you, and you're swinging back and forth. Right. And then you step in, you hit the first one, you keep swinging, you step in, you hit the second one. I love that drill for this purpose of hopefully helping people be able to time how fast all this stuff has to happen.
Yeah, that's a great drill for sure. And it gets rhythm and flow and everything in there, which is awesome for a lot of golfers. The one that I like showing, and I really should repost this / maybe remake it, is the, if you don't have force plates, you can make, again, 1 foot at a time. Make some swings on a cereal box, and then I'll post it so that people can see it.
I bought some furniture mover pads.
Yeah, yes. Perfect. Same thing. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. How quickly you go from the left foot pushing out to the right foot pushing out. It's almost instantaneous where you're going to push from the lead foot, and then a really good golfer is also pushing from the right foot. And also you get this like almost, you're almost making splits, because that's how fast you go from pushing with the lead foot to move into the transition or move into the backswing, and then instantly be pushing with the trail foot to go back towards the target.
Oh, by the way, you have to control the face and control the low point. And like Eric said, I mean, there's just so much going on, and so many people just get so sort of locked up on, I'm just trying to put the club on the back of the ball, and they just do nothing with any of that shifting from the ground. Or they just do it so late that it happens well after the ball's already gone.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine whose dad was a great baseball player, he will point out, and his theory is that pitchers are the best golfers, especially of other athletes, but generally, at least even if you're just talking Major League Baseball.
Right.
Pitchers are the best golfers because they understand the inherent timing of like, okay, like I'm falling toward the target, but my arm is still going back. It's still reaching back with the ball, but my body's going this way. So a lot of people say, oh, you want the golf swing to be natural and feel natural. People can't even throw a ball very well. That's why this is one of the toughest things. If you had a guy who played like even Little League Baseball at a decent level, or high school baseball or college baseball, especially if they were a pitcher, they get some idea of this. And the timing of that is very similar to throwing a ball. But I've had people like, I thought, okay, this will be easy. I'll just have them grab a medicine ball and pretend they're going to throw that overhead. And they still make what I call a backswing and then a downswing. They don't like start their lower body or any other parts of the body. They swing back and then they kind of pause and then they swing forward. And it's like, they're not good at throwing a baseball either, you know, or a football.
Yeah.
Or any kind of throwing thing. So
that's why I like the kettlebell swings as you can like sort of graduate to a little bit heavier. Mm-hmm. you have to shift with the pressure, because if you just try to do it with your arms, you'll lose it, right? But the second you get someone to move the pressure and of the kettlebell with the pressure in their shift, it becomes really easy. And the amount of times that I've given someone, you know, 5 pound, then a 10 pound, then a 30 pound, and they, as they get to the 30 pound, they can no longer manhandle with their arms. They actually have to get their body to swing it back and forth. They're like, is this what it's supposed to be like? I'm like, yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll have people grab two clubs, like a sand wedge and a pitching wedge, and just feel like they move those back and forth for a while. It's not as heavy as a 30 pound kettlebell. It starts to involve the body a little bit more.
Yeah. And I just go back to, especially like developing golfers, I think that's the importance of like playing other sports, like being an athlete, mm-hmm. I think gets people moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, again, I think we mentioned this in the past, where for some years, golf coaching almost went backwards a bit, where it's like, okay, let's just quiet the body. It's like, no, this is athletic motion. Like, let's get the body moving. Of course, we got to move it at the right times though. That's where it's, you know, people talk about, so sway is bad. Yeah, too much sway is bad, but you need some amount of sway, because that puts energy into the body, and then that energy puts it into the club, and then the club puts it into the ball, and that's how we hit the ball far, and that's how we lower our scores. You can't just, you know, hit the ball 10 yards because you don't make a pivot and you don't make a pressure shift. You know, there's got to be some give and take into that, right? It's still athletic motion.
Even if you like a centered pivot, doesn't mean you can't move a little bit back and a little bit forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
This episode, and a few more in the future, was sponsored by a generous listener who wanted to thank us for putting out this podcast. We'd like to thank all listeners and ask that you share this podcast with your friends. Just tell them about it or forward them a link to an episode you liked. Thank you, anonymous golfer. Now back to the show. All right. Who wants to go second?
You can go next, Tyson.
Okay. That was definitely mine, because I actually... I'm not great at the lateral shift and the timing of it personally. Even though I have the smart to move force plates, it is a difficult thing for me, but, I'm going to go sort of from the beginning of the swing. Sort of my backup one here is, I think a lot of people have massive difficulty getting the club started in the right sort of position. You see things where, you know, the club just sucks inside. You see where the hands work out, club head goes back. You see where people are trying not to suck the club inside, and that thing just is massively out, like a Matthew Wolf, even though they're a 30 handicapper.
You see a lot of people add immediate trail wrist extension and like the face is closed like crazy.
Yes. You see instant 40 degrees of hip turn. The club's not even at P2 yet, right? Yep. And now the hips have to turn off. Like, you see, people don't know how the sequence of getting the club started should work. I think that's a very difficult and obviously important part.
Yeah, that was the one I was hoping you were going to go after, but it is very much
we've taken each other's next in line, I guess, apparently.
I would honestly say that might be, other than obviously grip, stance, posture, all the things that you can nail before you pull that club back, but your takeaway is the biggest thing that can make a good golfer a great golfer and a bad golfer a good golfer. Because if you get back behind the eight ball early because of your takeaway, it's hard to save it late, especially as whatever you're manipulating with goes the wrong way somewhere at the top of your backswing, you're hooped. You're hanging on trying to survive. And personally, I mean, my takeaway is not good. It was funny. I just shot like a whole video outside and I just watched it and I went like, oh no, that's so bad. And it's just like, yeah, you just got to get back in there. You got to do the drills. As we always talk about it, like when I came to visit you, it's the same drills. I just need to feel even more. I just forgot, obviously, when I'm trying to golf and, you know, get the ball in the hole.
That's right.
You just got to do the drills, right? And you got to feel the feels and you got to extreme the feels, because when I make a backswing that helps my hands in the club get on a good plane early, my backswing is easier. I no longer have to think about like, oh, can I manipulate the club at the top of my backswing? It's just like, it just floats up there. And it's like, oh God, that's so easy. It's hard to start because it's a first movement for a lot of golfers off the golf ball. And that's like your trigger, you know? And so sometimes you have to change like your pre-shot routine or how you walk into it or your little
changing
waggles
the trigger
off the golf
is
ball.
Big too. Cause we all have a lot of people. We've had students that like have a massive forward press and then immediately yank their, you know, hinge their wrists and just throw the club around and behind them. Sometimes just changing a trigger to be like, okay, do a little right knee, get Gary Player type kick, like start the swing with your knee and not like shoving your hands forward a foot and a half. Things like that can be effective, but
yeah, changes how the brain triggers the movement pattern, which is super important to changing that and knowing that, right? And then practicing it, going to the range and go, can I practice my pre-shot routine? Can I practice my first little trigger off the golf ball? I don't even care where the golf ball goes. I just want to get comfortable making that motion. And then, okay, now I've got that nailed down. Now can I go into the takeaway? And then, you know, et cetera, from there.
Yeah, well, and you nailed it, Jason. I think if the first 2 feet of your takeaway is already putting you behind the eight ball, well, the rest of your golf swing has to be a compensation. And as we just talked about with Eric's, the golf swing doesn't take very much time. And like Eric said, sometimes for some people, it's even less. So now you have a very short amount of time to make that compensation. And the bad part is, and I'll tell people, the bad part is a lot of times you will make the compensation. You're going to hit good shots. But then when you hit bad shots, it's you didn't actually do anything different. The difference between that good shot and the bad shot was so small, it's not funny. You just got away with it when you're hitting the good shots. And
couldn't save it at the very end.
When you roll a die, sometimes you get a six, sometimes you get a one. It's the same die.
It's the same die. And to your point, when you get it in the right spot, it's just much easier for everything else to flow. And we can make the shift and the timing stuff easier. And I'm in that same boat. My takeaway tends to be a little bit too inside. And I'll sit and do the drills and I'll look at it on video. And I'll look at it in a mirror and it's great. And then I hit the ball and it's like, it's right back where I don't want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you do that, Tyson?
Foam balls.
There are people who would say, what would you say to the people that say, oh, but Ray Floyd like rolled it inside. Nancy Lopez did this, so-and-so. What would you say to them?
I think there's always outliers, guys. I mean, there's always going to be outliers. And of course, 100%, Ray Floyd sucked that baby inside. And how many majors did he win? Like six, something like that?
Yeah. George Knutson, too. Great Canadian golfer.
Yep.
Like, there's always going to be outliers. There's only one Ray Floyd. You know, there's only one Nancy Lopez.
And
right?
He worked at it very hard and not, again, one time a week.
That's exactly right.
A lot of these people, like, we've all had students where they kind of roll it inside, and then kind of it slows down and it kind of gathers at the top, and it's not really a problem. They might not like how it looks, but, like, if they get to the top and things are pretty calm and there's not a lot of stuff going on and there's not a lot of momentum carrying over in the wrong directions and stuff like that, who cares?
That's exactly right.
Oh, 100%.
Sometimes it can be just fine, like, whatever.
Yes.
That's why I've said it numerous times, too, is the takeaway doesn't matter if it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, I remember I had one online student. He sent me his swings. He's like, I'm embarrassed to send this to you, but I need some help. I've had, like, in-person lessons, and they're not working. Everyone's trying to change my takeaway. Whenever I try and change my takeaway, I should play worse golf. Can you let me know, like, what should I be doing? And he sends me swings and he's got literally like almost a little mini Matt Wolf, like in the front. And then it's just like flat around. And then he gets up to the top and the club's like perfect for him. He's got hand depth. He's trying to hit a draw. And then from there, it just works down beautifully. And I said, that's your swing. He's like, I know it's really bad. I'm like, it's perfect for you.
Yep.
Like, why would you change that? I'm like, what's your handicap? He's like, I'm plus two. I'm like, okay. So, like, where are you losing strokes? He's like, chipping and putting. Okay, well, I'm not touching that. That looks good. Right. I sent me your chipping and I want to see your putting. I'm not even a putting coach, but maybe I can help you out a little bit. And yeah, his chipping motion was really, really bad. And we never touched his full swing ever again. Right. But it's like, yeah, you have to understand that motion works well for you in the rest of the swing. If it doesn't for like me and Tyson, well, yeah, then we want to change it.
Yep.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say to that is that I'm very reluctant to let someone do something that's weird in the backswing if it bleeds into this part where you start to get to distance wedges, because then how can you make a downswing if the club is like way behind you or way outside your hands still at like, you know, three quarter or a half swing type. You know, I want it somewhere near where they can make a swing down from there. You should be able to make a downswing from a half or a three quarter type backswing position. So that's the only time I might say, yeah, it's not too bad, but you pull your distance wedges probably a little bit or something like that. And they'll go, yeah. I'm like, all right, let's worry about that in a bit. But for now, just keep doing what you're doing. Jason, you have the last one.
All right. So I'm going to go with the transition from literally when the club changes direction. For a lot of golfers, and I gave an online lesson just today where a guy, he's like, I just feel like I have no idea what I'm supposed to do at the top of my backswing to start the downswing. And this bleeds a little bit into what we started with the first one, which is the pressure shift. But what I would say is where the force gets put into the handle from like lead hand to trail hand. And again, this is just like a weird concept for a lot of golfers is we're standing, not looking at the target. We're going to swing the club away from the target. And then we don't actually want to swing the club back towards the target to start the downswing. For a lot of golfers is just like this. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Once I've made my backswing, don't I want to bring my hands and the club directly down to the golf ball? And it's like, no, actually you don't.
No, it goes away from the target and the golf ball.
Yeah.
Away from both of them.
It's so true. Everyone just wants to take the handle to the ball. They just want to rip the hands to the ball. And that's just not how it works. It should be a little bit of an ellipse working out and away from you. It's happening in such a small amount of time. What is the transition? How long does that take? I don't even know. It's really fast.
Right.
And it's really difficult thing for people to change when they realize or when they get coached that, hey, your hands are pulling down. It is a really, really difficult thing for people to change and hit functional golf shots at first.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's bizarre the disconnect between where your hands are going and where the club head is going. For example, just even around impact, your hands can be going left and the club head can be going right. Your hands are going up and the club head is still going down. Most other sports, the implement, a tennis racket, etc., isn't as long as a golf club. So they're pretty much going in the same direction as our hand.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have nerve endings in the golf club. So the only thing that we can really feel directly is our hands and what direction they're going. And so the fact that you can feel like your hands are going left, and they can actually be going left, and you can be swinging 7 degrees to the right, and they can be moving 5 degrees up, and you could be hitting 5 degrees down, is strange to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may not even be aware that it's strange to them, but they almost want to feel like they have more direct one-to-one relationship with my hands go this way, so the club goes that way. And it's often going the opposite direction.
Yeah. I think you said it once, could be wrong, where you're like, we want the hands to work down, but the club to stay back, or something along the lines of that, where it's like, we're constantly trying to feel like the club head is behind the body. Mm-hmm. Is a great feel. But how do you do that is sometimes the polar opposite of what you feel like, or your mind's eye is like, okay, I've made this motion. I now want to bring the club head to the golf ball. But if you do that too early in the swing, which is always the hard part, is also now the club head gets in front of the hands, in front of the body. And then from there, then you're in trouble.
Well, and we could say, right, that the takeaway is going to influence what the transition is doing, you know, with the club head, to your point. And then the mm-hmm. transition is going to influence the timing of the shifting that's happening going on. And
or
so
vice
like
versa, the shifting influences
exactly
the transition.
Right. And again, it just goes back to, man, there's so much going on here in such a short amount of time.
And it all happens outside of our field of vision because we're looking at a golf ball. And as soon as we get the club past our right thigh,
it's gone.
It's gone. We don't see it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell students, I've said this a lot the last couple of weeks. It's like, it doesn't surprise me that we hit bad shots. Like sometimes it surprises me that we ever hit good ones with so much going on. I had a 16-year-old kid in here yesterday swinging 125 miles an hour with his driver. 16 years old. Oof. He's about as big as the golf shaft. But this kid just is strong and powerful. And it's like, it's crazy that that's happening so fast with this little golf ball and the head of the driver, and that he ever hits it where he wants to. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's awesome. Truly awesome.
Beginners, starter, set lessons. I'm like, your job today is to hit the golf ball every time you try to hit the golf ball. That's it.
That's right.
I don't care if it goes in the air. They usually hit it in the air because I tell them to hit the ground near the golf ball. Just hit the ball every time you try to hit the golf ball, because there are people that have been playing golf for 30 years that still occasionally whiff.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. It's a really difficult sport.
That's right. Like the club head's not super big. It's not a hockey stick, and the golf ball's not a volleyball. Like, you're going to swing and miss sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you guys struggle with one of these issues, give us some feedback. Let us know what the most difficult part of the swing is for you. Again, as always, share this with a friend. We truly appreciate it.
Yeah. And you can find us on all socials. Feel free to message us there at the Spin Access. And you can find us online at thespinaccess.com.
Thanks. None of us said the mental game.